T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back, Sports Huddle. Timberwolves have some time off here before they reconvene and play at New York on Friday. Joining us, their head coach, Ryan Saunders. And Ryan, I visited with you about this the other day in terms of what you do when you have a long period of time. You said, number one, I'm going to spend some time with my wife because I've been pretty engulfed in this coaching thing. But you said you also take a look at tapes and whatnot and try to figure out, you know, what's that message when you come back. I think you reconvene on Wednesday, don't you?
Yeah, reconvene on Wednesday. First off, thanks for having me on, guys. We can be on Wednesday. Everybody, you know, at this point during the season, you know, players, coaches, everybody does need a little bit of time because it is, it is a daily grind with the travel and everything. But, my All-Star break is a little bit different this year in a sense where, you know, when the change had happened, you don't have a whole lot of time to really dive in and you know, kind of formulate, you know, exactly, you know, philosophy and everything that you want to do in such a short period of time. So, I've been using the time so far, and then also over the next few days, I'm really going to dive in and try to simplify in terms of moving forward, some quantified goals and things like that. You know, things that we can really point to and say, hey, this worked for us, or this didn't work for us.
How good can you be if you get healthy?
Well, I mean, we feel good about our team in terms of we really haven't played with a full deck. In a long time. And when we do have, more guys back than not back, we've been pretty good. And then, hopefully getting Robert back soon here and Tyus as well. Robert gives us more of a catch and shoot option with things and then more defensive versatility. And then Tyus is, people know how I feel about Tyus. He's a winner. He's intelligent. And he's just nice to have on the court.
Ryan, so much talk about basketball, other sports, is people looking at tape to find out what went wrong. How much time do you spend looking, like at the last game, and trying to figure out what went right?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's actually one of the things that I do believe in, is that you need to, don't just look at what the negatives are. I like to think I'm a positive person, 90% of the time. So with that, I think that it's important within your film study that you really focus on, okay, what went right, what can we continue to do, and then how do we continue to do that?
Ryan, you mentioned that, and Josh Okogie, I mean, it sounds strange when you say you hold a guy to 42 points, but they made Harden work hard and had to take a lot of shots to get 42 points, and then Okogie has that block, and after that he makes a three-point shot. What do you see from him in terms of getting in the rotation and his confidence?
Yeah, he is a confident player, I guess you could call it aha or wow moment the other day when we were in a mandatory, NBA meeting and the person who was leading the meeting asked if anybody was underage in the room, and he was the only one who raised his hand.
Yeah.
And you forget about that sometimes as you have to count on guys and you expect a lot out of them and things like that. And he, being under, 20 years old, he's got a lot of room to grow, which is exciting. But then it's also, seeing him the other night and, taking the defensive challenge. I mean, you said it, 42 points. Hey, James Harden, he's a hard cover. But Josh did a nice job along with Luol really try to slow him down a little bit.
How good can Rose be if he stays healthy? And second of all, I've been told that he really likes it here and he will stay here and sign as a free agent. You think that's true?
Hey, you know more in Minnesota than I do. So if you say it, I'm gonna, I might perk my ears up a little bit. But so you know more than I do. But in terms of Derek, it's the thing that people don't realize about Derek, unless you really know him, is how great of a teammate he is and how genuine of a person he is with that. And with that, you always want those types of people to have that success. And when he's been healthy, which he's done a good job of, of getting healthy. Whenever he's maybe had a little bit of a setback, and I think a lot of that contributes. You know, his little setbacks have been contributing to our other injuries as well. Where we might have to play him, heavier minutes and things like that. He's whenever he's on the court, he's, as talented and as great a playmaker as you'll find.
Ryan, it seems like an eternity since we've seen Covington. What's the prognosis on his return?
Yeah, what I gathered is that we're hoping, sometime pretty close after All-Star break, he's back. It seems like an eternity for me too. He'd be nice to have out there and to throw at some of these guys who are, very good individual scorers. So we're looking forward to having him back.
You had one of your big moments.
That your number one draft choice would turn out as good as he is.
Yeah, I've been around Carl since he's a teenager, and he keeps getting better and better, and he's adding more to his game. You see, I think the thing that people, if you take a step back and you really try to see what he's doing, he's becoming a really nice playmaker in terms of the way he passes the ball out of post, with the way he's reading defenses. Everybody's starting to bring some sort of double team or even, double team, and then also another guy kind of sitting in his lap. And he's doing a nice job with that.
Ryan, you had one of your first moments the other day where you had to tell Taj Gibson he wasn't in the starting lineup, that one of those, what they call those difficult conversations that coaches have. What was that like for you? And you did, you do it during the shoot-around and whatnot. What was that like to go through that process of sitting him down, looking him in the eye and saying, this is the direction we're going?
No, it was, and I'll say this though, it wasn't a conversation of, hey, this is the direction we're going. It was a dialogue and where, Taj and I talked about what I thought was maybe best for the group moving forward. Both in terms of Dario, getting him going with things, and then just, giving, different types of spacing out there. And I wanted to get Taj's opinion until I told him I was going to definitively do that. And Taj is an ultimate, he's the ultimate professional. I can't say enough about him. And, hey, those conversations, you never know how they're going to end up, no matter how professional somebody is. But Taj is one that I wasn't really worried about. But, you worry about it a little bit going into it. But obviously it's worked out for us so far.
How about Gibson? You keep on bringing him off the bench.
That's the plan. That's the plan right now. He's been, he's had a couple of nice games off the bench too, and we like what Dario does, and we like Dario in terms of how he spaces the floor with Carl, how he can be another playmaker out there, when he has the ball at the top of the key out of some of our other actions, and then also take some of the burden off Carl. In that sense. But with that, comes greater responsibility for Carl defensively, because Taj has been very good next to him. So we look at that as a challenge for Carl moving forward, and we know he attacks every challenge that is put in front of him.
Ryan Sanders, good luck to you. The best. Known you since you were born, and I'm so happy for you and your family and for being on this show. We'll get you a certificate to the marriage. You take your bride to have the best steak in town. Thanks for taking time to visit with us.
Thanks a lot, Sid. You know our family loves you, so we appreciate you guys.
All right, that's Ryan Saunders. We'll be back with more right after this Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. We are back. I was listening to that commercial, a long time back. I worked at the Toro Company. One thing I kept when I left there was my Toro stock. It's done very well with all this snow everywhere in the last
week. No wonder you're pushing for the record so bad.
yeah, come on, snow. Help that stock. A couple text messages, gentlemen. One of them says, what is Tibbs doing? Is he on vacation? Is he doing anything basketball related?
Saw him on ESPN recently in the roundtable. Discussion. It was he and Jalen Rose, I believe, a couple of players,
yeah.
and they were just doing the old, And this is kind of standard protocol for coaches that want to get back into it.
They
go to ESPN. You remember Flip Saunders was in ESPN. They find a spot. And I don't know if this was just a, once in a while they're bringing him through or if it's going to be a regular thing. But he's pretty good at breaking down the game because he is so almost OCD about the way he coaches and approaches the NBA.
All right, good answer. Sid, here's a question for you. This person says, I'd like to see Saunders named permanent head coach of the Wolves. What are the chances of Ryan Saunders getting the permanent job?
I think that Taylor wants him, and I think Taylor's very happy with him, and I think he'll definitely winning these last two games was big.
All right, well, we'll keep an eye on that one. We are going to take a break here because if things go well, we should be talking to Jerry Kill when we come back, and we'll talk to him about his – well, it's not a new position, but his temporary position was made permanent during the week. So we'll take this break and talk to an old friend right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are nothing if not flexible. I guess cross signals, Jerry Kill's expecting us to call in about 10 minutes. Meanwhile, Sid caught up with Jim Polad to talk some Twins-related topics. Let's listen in.
This is your 10th year as official owner of the Twins. What have you liked best about being involved as an owner?
Well, I mean, everybody likes to be involved with sports and baseball in particular, and this time of year, it's, you know, there's 30 optimistic teams, and we're one of them. So it's fun.
Okay. You're on some type of top committees with Major League Baseball. What is that?
Well, they have a whole bunch of committees, and they rotate them every year. And this is the time of year they start to make some changes. So I don't know what's coming up yet, but I have been involved. But, you know, all owners, they try to get everybody involved.
Talk about Target Field. And look back when you got it built. What has been something that has made you happy about getting built and all the benefits from the stadium?
Well, it's a great place to watch baseball compared to the Metrodome, which there are a lot of great memories of. It's like the difference between watching something in black and white versus color.
You made some additions this year in the batter's eye and making the entrances bigger. Are you happy with the way the stadium is going into this season?
Yeah, I mean, we're happy. It's been almost 10 years now, so, you start to see things that maybe you have to think about replacing things because nothing lasts forever. But our goal is to keep it in pristine condition at all times.
Talk about the leadership of Falvey and Levine. What have they contributed, and what are you happy about?
They've contributed a lot. I mean, it's a change from the prior group of people that were here. There's no question about that. I mean, there's more emphasis on process and analytics and all that than there was before. And there's this staffing level in the baseball department is way higher than it was before also. So it's changed.
Could you talk about the new technology you put in and how that's going to help you?
You know, I'm probably not the best person to talk about technology since I'm not on any social media or anything. But I know that they are utilizing technology, and that's, an investment. Besides people, it's investment in software and so forth that we've made also.
Are you happy with Favey and Levine, how they run the team?
Absolutely. I mean, we're committed. We understand all this is a long-term process. It's not about hiring a magician or magicians and they come in and perform a magic trick that results in world championships. It's a long process and you built for the long term.
What are you expecting this season after having a bad year last year?
Well, I mean, I've said that I think that I don't want us to be a team that always defies expectations. So if expectations are high, we go low. If we're low, they go high. But that's kind of the way it's been so far. So, we always have high expectations for the team. We do this year, and we hope they come to fruition.
How will it be without Joe Mauer as a face of the franchise?
I don't want to say it'll be terrible because I love Joe Mauer. But, I mean, everything moves on. His life has progressed. He's gotten older like I have. And so you just have to accept change when it comes.
Your Pharaoh without Mauer will give you a chance to sign a lot of free agents, like Nelson Cruz.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have payroll flexibility, but it's not like there's some requirement that we have to spend the money. We will if there's a, if it can be proven, and then that's the recommendation of Derek and Thad.
Talk about your new manager. What impressed you when you talked to him originally?
Well, I mean, we're hearing a lot about this right now, that people connect instantly, or, you know, quickly to Rocco, and that's the way we, you know, I participated in the interview of a handful of candidates, but the connection with Rocco was immediate.
How about the attendance? Are you unhappy with being down last year?
Oh, well, yes, we're not happy, that's for sure. I mean, I get it. People want to come in and they want a winning team, and we want that too. And that definitely influences attendance, and so that was a factor last year.
How about the improvements you've made on the minor league?
Now, we try to make, you know, I don't know if you're talking about the minor league facilities or the minor league systems and so forth, but I mean, we understand that it has improvements, and our investment has to be made all throughout the system, not just at the major league level.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
All right, that was Jim Polad. We are going to try to juggle things to get hold of both Jerry Kill and Bob Motzko and your phone calls in the final 30 minutes. I'll tell you when it's time for your phone calls. It will be after one or two of those interviews, but we're trying to connect with them and make it work in the next 32 minutes or so. You are listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. Okay, we are back, and we'll be using the next minute or two to try to set up one of those interviews. I just want to tell you this afternoon, if you're looking for something to do around the Twin Cities, the Wild game, St. Louis, that's a 2 o'clock start in St. Paul. And Gopher women, that's a 1 o'clock start. That's against Penn State, and that's here in the Williams Arena. One text message. Sid, you got some?
What happened? We should get a hold of Lindsey Whalen.
Lindsey Whalen will be a guest on our show next Sunday.
Huh? How did he turn everything around?
Well, she went to a four-guard offense, and they got a lot quicker. They played better defense, and they learned, the coaching staff and the players together, winning in the Big Ten is a lot harder than they thought. But right now, they're one of the fastest teams in the country, and they run away from people. They're a lot of fun to watch, and their attendance is up slightly more than 2,000 per game than it was last year.
More than 2,000 extra?
Per game. So that's I think the Whalen factor has been good.
More than that.
Well, that's the last I saw.
The one thing they haven't been able, they thought they'd get was that Lynx crowd, and they haven't been able to necessarily get
them. Yeah, no, they haven't really come over. But
it's kind of been organic, you know.
Lower level's pretty full.
Biggest surprise is the volleyball. They sell out every game.
They stopped their sale of season tickets to allow for some single tickets, but that's a good show. I mean, Hugh McCutcheon has done a great job, and it's a right-sized building. It's about 5,500 seats. All right, looks like we're going to be Bob Motzko join us right now. Bob, congratulations on a very, very nice weekend against Ohio State.
Well, it sure turned out to me, I'll tell you that, after what we did the week before. To flip the switch like that, great weekend and great effort by our guys.
Motz, you kind of joked about it. I was texting you back and forth last night, but it wasn't particularly a pretty game last night. But you won one, you know, in your estimation, kind of ugly. Explain that, because if you're not a hockey aficionado, you might not see all the subtleties.
Well, I said good, bad, and ugly, but there was a lot of good. That's what, you know, we scored the first shift of the game because they came out with steam after our win, and they have yet to be beat twice. All season long, they've never been swept, and they're a good hockey team. And we popped one in right away and kind of leveled the playing field. And so for the first half of the game, we have a 3-0 lead, and we were playing very well. And then we do what we do. We make a few mistakes, and we let them back into the game. And then we were kind of hanging on, and that's where, you know, we made the mistakes on the penalty kill. Robson was just great net for us down the stretch, and it got out of control a bit in the real later part of the game, and that's where, you know, I did want the emphasis on our team, especially, you know, hey, for half the game we played a whale of a game, and then we had to defend it out, and we figured a way to do it. So that was a gut check win for us. We'll take it, obviously.
Ohio State is the only team that will be in the NCAA, only Big Ten hockey team.
Right now, said they'd be the only team that would get in, and you know, it's part of it. The next six teams are almost all around the 500 or just under. We've just beat each other up, and we've kind of knocked each other out of the tournament.
What's the atmosphere like in Ohio State right now for hockey, Bob?
There's some excitement going on there. It was a much better crowd. They play in a monster building, which hurts them. But it's a program definitely on the come. They're doing much stronger in recruiting right now. Obviously, getting to the Frozen Four last year was a major plus for them. Good atmosphere in the building. There's a little buzz, and I think some of these non-traditional hockey schools that are really building some great programs is coming, and there's some excitement. It's great for our game.
Bob, and then you come home, back-to-back games against Notre Dame. That should be fun.
Well, it's here's how crazy it is. I think we're 6-2-2 against the top three teams in the league. And obviously our bugaboo has been we have six losses to Penn State, Michigan State, two of the bottom teams. And that's what's been hard to kind of figure out. But Notre Dame and ourselves right now are in a battle for home ice and fighting for the top part of the standings. They got a big win last night against Wisconsin. So and they're a very well coached team with Jeff Jackson. So and then Arizona State comes in the week after, who, you know, people aren't gonna know Arizona State. I think they solidified themselves in the NCAA tournament last night with their win. And that's their last games before they play in the NCAA tournament. So it's gonna be playoff hockey for them. So we got two big series at home, first starting with Notre Dame.
Mats, some people realize this, some don't, but it wasn't just you that moved to the Twin Cities. Your son did as well, and he's part of the Minnetonka team that's ranked number one or two in the state, depending on what polls you look at. And now they've got section hockey coming up. What's that been like for you to go to these high school games and bouncing back and forth? And I know you can scout at the same time and whatnot, yeah. but you've had one busy winter.
Well, yeah, and then I got a Bantam, too, who's playing on the Bantam team in Minnetonka. Hey, there's no question, and every parent out there knows, when you move and you've got kids in high school, junior high, it's tough.
Yep.
It is really tough on young kids. And I'll tell you, the people in our community have been outstanding. They've had both my boys have got great coaches that have made the transition. The school system has been great. We feel very welcomed in the community. And for hockey parents, we're all going to get this. We only hang out with hockey parents. we're a cult. We hang out together.
That's the only people you see, right?
So that's it. I mean, you live for 9 months almost just with hockey parents, and they've been outstanding. So it's that part of it's been very good for us, but it is tough on young kids to leave their friends and the people. That's all they knew. 13 years, my kids only went through to St. Cloud, and we had a wonderful experience there. So I really hope in time my boys really understand that they had two great situations in their lives and they can grow from it.
How about your recruiting 2019 class? How good is it?
Sid, right now it looks to be outstanding. And I rarely make strong comments. I kind of let recruits do their own talking once they get there. But I think it's a recruiting class that when it's all said and done, that the University of Minnesota and our fans will be real proud of it. And time's going to play out on that, but I'm excited about it. I can tell you that.
Coach, I'm going to say a name here, and I don't know if you can comment or not, because I can never remember who signed on the dotted line and who, you know, until they sign, you can't comment on them. Sorensen, can you comment on or not?
I can't make any.
Okay, and I'm going to say this just hypothetically, and I won't bring Bob into this, but hypothetically, they may have found Paul Wiggins' grandson, great three-sport athlete who plays junior hockey up there in Alaska, and I was just talking to Paul last week, and he was a great three-sport athlete at St. Louis Park. That's the one thing you can comment on. You like those multi-sport athletes, don't you?
I there's no question. And to clarify, it's all NCAA-based. So people know you're right. Not until they sign a national letter of intent can we make comments. So we're going to make all our comments at the end of the season once it's done. We want athletes. We want good kids who are good students and are going to represent our program. And I don't care if they're playing at a small Class A school or small town northern Minnesota or right here in the Twin Cities. We're going to uncover rocks until we find the right kids. And that is, I can assure you, that's a track record that we feel very strong about what we've done, and we're going to continue to do that.
Well, Bob, we appreciate very much. Thanks for, I know you just got out of church, hey. and thanks for picking up the phone. Sid, go ahead.
Well, get your murder certificate. Get the best steak in town. Thank you.
Awesome, Sid. I appreciate that.
Thanks, right. Coach.
Bob Motzko.
All right, guys.
All right, good job. Thanks for joining us. We're going to try to get Jerry Kill hit, but I said I would give the phone numbers. If we don't connect with Jerry Kill, it will be your calls. So now is the time to call us, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226, or you can text us anytime you want, that number 81807. We'll be back right after the Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. We've got a couple callers. We're still trying to get. We've left messages everywhere for Jerry Kill. We'll get the callers in just a minute. Sid, I wanted to wish you condolences on the fact that the A's signed Robbie Grossman. So I don't think you're going to be able to get Robbie Grossman on for an interview. Every week you say, let's get Robbie Grossman. Got signed by the A's.
He signed with somebody else.
The A's, the Oakland A's.
Oakland A's.
Yep. No longer a Twin.
I thought that was a mistake, not signing him.
I think you've been abundantly clear on that.
But if that's your key offseason.
Come back to haunt him.
I don't. I mean, Robbie Grossman was just a guy. When he had to be your DH, you knew that you were in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, do you want him or Cruz taking those at bats?
They're going to sign three more players. Phil Miller has had that story. Rogers, the left fielder.
Rosario.
I'm trying to.
Rosario.
Huh?
When you say they're going to sign, just so our listeners don't get confused, they are going to offer long-term contracts
extensions.
To three more contract extensions to three more players. They are not going to sign three more free agents.
And a pitcher.
Rogers, Rosario, and
Barrios?
Was it Barrios?
Yeah.
Barrios. Okay. All right. Let's go to the phones. Betsy and Crystal. Betsy, thanks for calling. When asked, go ahead.
Did you say Nancy?
No, I said Betsy.
Oh.
Are you Betsy or are you Nancy?
Nancy.
Hi, Nancy. It says Betsy on my screen, but you're Nancy.
Nancy, oh. Yeah. When we got all this new management for our Twins,
yep.
Partners and all that, I thought, oh, here's our chance to get rid of Sano. But no, of course, they aren't paying him very much, but he won't do what they ask him to do. He stays too fat, and he isn't athletic. I think if he wants to play some kind of a sport, he should try football. Of course, they could push him over pretty easy, but I don't think that he's ever going to become a baseball player.
Wow, Maxie, you want to?
Yeah, well,
I don't know where you go on that. There's like
first
different...
off, he is very athletic. Second, I don't know where his weight's at right now. Obviously, that's been a point of contention. Last year, they got him down, sent him down, and he got it down for a while. But I haven't seen him at spring training, so I don't know what he looks like. But the other part of that, you know, you're not the first person to say part ways with Sano. Well, you want to get something for him. You know, and I don't know what the offers. What do you think the offers would be for somebody like that, Dave? I think they wouldn't be that big right now.
Well, I don't either. I mean, everybody goes back to David Ortiz. The Twins actually released David Ortiz, and nobody wanted him for the longest time. Sid, you remember when the Twins released David Ortiz and how long it took before Boston finally signed David Ortiz? I don't think right now Sano's got a whole lot of value, but there are people in the Twins organization. You mentioned Sano, and they go, boy, we don't want to be part of the next David Ortiz situation. So he's going to get another good look this year.
Takes Sid? A long time. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, no. just the fact that...
Well, if he ever clicks, you got something, right?
Yeah, and to say he's not athletic, watch that guy bare hand field balls hit short of third base. He's almost as good as any... I mean, there's maybe two or three guys in the majors any better. That's a really athletic move. I agree with Nancy. I think we all do. He'd probably do it better if he weighed 20 or 25 pounds less than he did last year, maybe even more. But remember, Derek Falvey told Sid in response to a question an hour and a half ago that Sano and Buxton hit camp today, and I'm sure that one of the first things is a physical, and I would guess that online before the end of the day we're going to get an idea of what shape they're both in.
Yeah, when you're sneaking, when you're on the road and you're having people run out and get Burger King for you, that's not a good sign. But they think they got the better of that now.
Yeah, I do too. And of course, Buxton is reportedly up 20 pounds. The last I heard, Sano down 20, Buxton up 20.
Yeah.
And Buxton at 205 pounds, he could be really good.
He could be a good football player, 205 pounds, too. Jeepers.
How about a receiver?
Receiver, D-back.
D-backs, free safety. All right, let's go to Ken and Blaine. Ken, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Good morning. I just recently saw in the Minneapolis paper that the University of Illinois is pretty strongly considering adding men's hockey to their athletic program, which I think you'll see more of that coming up now with the success that Penn State has had, and then, of course, Arizona State has really come alive. So I think the athletic institutions will probably be more amenable to adding hockey if they have the funding, of course. It's interesting because a year ago in the Wall Street Journal, they had an article about the fact that there's more D1 capable hockey players in the United States than there are positions. So, I mean, I guess there's a lot of players around that could play.
Okay, that's an interesting point. You know, for a long time, Mike, the speculation was Iowa would be the next Big Ten because hockey in Iowa does well.
Yeah, they haven't really stepped up, though, have they?
No, it's been rumored that they were going to be next. So that'd be great if Illinois were to do it. It's an expensive sport to add. It's hard to make money on this.
It's expensive. You got to add women's, too. That's just as expensive. But to his point, there's no question there are more Division I hockey players caliber-wise than there are positions available now. There's just the training is so good for these kids, the opportunities. They can go play juniors for 2 years after. You can chase that dream for a long time and get really good. And that's why you're seeing all these junior teams now. They're preparing kids to play in the MIAC because there's not enough Division I. They're really good players, but they're going to juniors for 2 years just to be able to play Division III hockey because there's so many good hockey players out there right now.
All right, it sounds like we're getting more calls coming in. We're still going to try to get hold of Jerry Kill. We're going to take a break here. We'll come back. It'll be our final segment. It'd be a good idea if you would give us a call because sometime during that segment, we will have a chance to get to your calls. We've also got some excellent text messages. So the phone number is 651-989-9226. 9226. Call us during the break. We'll talk to you right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear.
All right, phone lines are wide open. You call us now, you're on the air. 651-989-9226. 989-9226 is the number to call. Text message, gentlemen, I'll let either of you react to this first. Buxton has done absolutely nothing. Why should we expect him to be a hitter in this league? He has shown no ability to hit. He can run and defend only. Mike?
Two things. I think with Buxton, I think this will be their approach, is they're going to try to talk him out of being everything. He wants to be that 5-tool player so bad. I think they're going to say to him, don't worry about that. Just get on base and make something happen. Don't worry so much about your power numbers. Here's what I worry about with Buxton. I think he's a great kid. I can see him putting on that 20 pounds of muscle and getting in his head something that he's not, where he starts going, hey, I'm big, I'm strong, I can be everything, I can do everything for this team. And I think his biggest nemesis, particularly after he had success, is that he thinks too much about things, and he doesn't just let the game go and let his ability take over. And I think until he does that, you know, some would say, just try to cut down on your strikeouts, and everything else will take care of itself, because you put the ball in play and you can run like that, you don't have to worry about anything else. Play center. Nobody questions he can play center field. He's a gold glover. But I worry about his head, him thinking that he needs to be more than he is.
And if Carew could work with him in spring training and turn him into a bunter with that speed, he could get 25 bunt hit.
Yep.
Bunt hits a year.
Yep, and it changes the shift if you can bunt.
Absolutely. Sid, here's one for you. This person doesn't believe that Kepler was re-signed. Why would they offer Kepler a multi-year contract like they did?
Well, he was up and down last year. He's a great fielder, no doubt about that. Great base runner. But as a hitter, he's up and down. They must think they got a good future and all that kind of stuff.
You know, but it was a very interesting contract. When you read about it, it was unlike a lot of contracts in that they sort of spread the money over the period of it. There's a lot of speculation that Kirilloff is going to come up, and that Kirilloff will be one of the starting outfielders. Well, is it going to be Rosario? Is it going to be Buxton who goes away? Well, we don't know much about Buxton. We just talked about that. But Kepler could play first base. He could DH. And I think they feel at his age it was worth spending, and they had no other money committed. Sid?
Like you say, that contract is favorable to the club.
It is. Ooh. Hard to believe, but it is. Yeah.
I was surprised that they gave him that long a contract. They've always liked his athletic ability. Yeah. But I thought he was on the cusp of either that this was his year where they either decided we want you in or you're gone. I didn't think he was far enough along that they'd make a commitment to him.
Let me ask you this, because I have an opinion on this, and I'll give it last. Will we see more signings? Sid, you're saying your paper's reported three more signings. I wouldn't doubt there's more than three more signings out there. With their payroll situation going forward the way it is, the Twins are in an incredibly good position to offer some contracts and tie up these players of theirs who are between 23 and 27 years old.
I think they'll sign several more players. I think to get them locked up before, like the shortstop is a good player.
Polanco. He could be their second baseman of the future.
He's good. He's better than the right fielder.
Better than Kepler?
Yeah.
He's versatile. But, you know, they got similar contracts. I thought those were good moves. You know, the interesting thing, people ask me and they say, all right, the Twins, everyone agrees the Twins have three or four minor league phenoms. We've known that for 20 years. They've had three or four minor league phenoms. They said, do you expect any of them will be up before the end of this season? Well, first of all, how are the Twins going to do this year? And then they say, who's the first one to come up? And most people think it's Lewis. I said, I think the first one of those three to come up may well be Kirilloff.
Yeah, I talked to Kirilloff at Twins Fest. He's a confident young man. Lewis is still kind of in awe of the whole situation. He was so thrilled that they invited him down to be part of this early spring training. But the thing about Lewis is, you've seen him, Dave, in the minor leagues too, you just want to make sure you time it right because he seems like he's got the confidence. He's also a leader. He's not just a player. You just don't want to rush him. And I would err on the side of, because that kid looks like he could be special if he can hit this level. He looks like he could be around for a long time. So you just, I would not rush that kid to the big leagues.
I watched Kirilloff take just a second. I watched Kirilloff take batting practice at Cedar Rapids, and if you turned around and just listened to the bat off the ball, there was something different. He's one of the best looking hitters that I've seen in the Twins minor league system in a long, long time. Sid,
the manager's got a different theory on this team.
Okay.
He saw him play last year when he was with Tampa. He thinks they're better than people think. He thinks there'll be some stuff. Hear anything about Mouser?
You know, we're just asking. I don't know if he'll be involved in the organization or not this year. He's under contract, but, I mean, that means nothing.
Yeah, and when you ask, we asked Jeter Felvey about that a week ago, and he gave the ballpark answer. You know, we remain in conversations with Paul. Obviously, have great respect for him. Think there's a number of ways he can help. That tells me they're still a long way apart. And Paul Molitor doesn't need to work this year.
I mean, no, he can do whatever he wants.
He can do it.
He may get the itch to go out and scout or something like that. I don't know.
I mean, the Twins have been fairly good historically at using people, giving them, you know, roving roles to go out
all
and do advanced scouting, whatever
it is.
Remember,
Gardner came back before he took the Detroit job. He's working for the Twins again.
That's right. Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised right now, maybe a little more time to heal. What do you think about Molitor, Sid? Do you think he will eventually find a role with the Twins?
Molitor?
Yeah.
What about him?
Do you think that he and the Twins will find some role for him down the road?
I hear he's not going to come this year.
I agree with you. I don't think it'll be this year. Long term?
Maybe in the future.
Yeah, I mean, anything's possible. Remember, the Twins and Harmon Killebrew had about a 2-year separation. And so there is history behind
it. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, nothing's forever in baseball. And I do think he'll be back. We are running out of time, but thank you for the 651 guy. We coined that about a month ago. He said, great show today. It was a fun show today. I really enjoyed the Neil Broughton conversation. I hope our listeners heard that. Richard Pitino was very upbeat as he should have been about that victory. If you like to read stuff online, go to the Indianapolis Star and read their coverage. My friend Jerry Brockert sent that to me. Their coverage of the Indiana game last night was brutal. Brutally honest about the way Indiana played. Derek Falvey was our guest. We'll have Derek or Thad on probably every week through spring training. Neil Broughton was fun to talk about, the Miracle on Ice team. Ryan Saunders, Jim Polad, Bob Motzko. We're sorry we couldn't get hold of Jerry Kill. We appreciate your phone calls. Last week, I think we set the record for phone calls. Had a lot more today. Bob in St. Paul, I'm sorry we don't have time to take your call. We're just about out of time here. But it's been fun, and we will do it again next week. The three of us will be together here. Look at my notes here. 2 o'clock this afternoon in St. Paul, the Minnesota Wild play. Minnesota women's Gopher basketball plays at 1 o'clock. They play Penn State, and Lindsey Whalen will be on our show next Sunday. So you've been listening to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike, with Craig Sheffer, the Hammer, supplying all the work in the background. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.